Living in the country or one of the many small cities or villages in Wisconsin has a lot of benefits. You might have land to work or enjoy. The sounds around you may have more to do with nature than business, but that rural life can come with trade-offs. Many parts of Wisconsin have trouble getting access to affordable high-speed internet, if they can get it at all. And after going through the COVID-19 pandemic, we know how important a stable internet connection is in keeping us all together. Well, people are advocating for broadband improvements at all levels of telecommunications and government. We'll check in on those efforts as they affect Wisconsin as we explore broadband internet here on the West Side and Route 51. I'm Clara Neipert. Glad you're with us. Today we're playing a recorded episode of the West Side from June 4th. Joining us today are Martha Bechtel, Executive Director of the Educational Communications Board and member of the Governor's Task Force on Broadband Access. Welcome to the West Side, Martha.
Thank you so much, Claire. Glad to be here.
A quick note here, WPR is a service of the Educational Communications Board and the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Also joining us is Dennis Bachman of Citizens Connected Cooperative in New Auburn. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning. Thank you.
As always, your calls are welcome as we explore the state of broadband here in western Wisconsin. You can call 800-228-5615, that's 800-228-5615, or email ideas@wpr.org. Well, I wanted to start out, one word that we're going to be saying a lot today is broadband, and I want to start by defining it. Martha Bechtel, what exactly is broadband?
Well, in the most general terms, it's the ability to get internet access at your house, and it can come in a whole number of ways. It can come through that telephone line, it can come through cable, fixed wireless devices attached to your home, fiber in the ground. There are lots of ways broadband can be delivered to your house, and it's available or not available depending on where you live.
And Dennis Bachman, you're part of one of the companies, Citizens Connected, that can provide those types of internet connections. What other companies besides yours might be able to provide internet?
In our area here around Eau Claire, you have West Wisconsin, Tri-County Telephone, NTAC, Nelson Telephone, Bloomer Telephone. Actually, those are pretty much all fiber-based. Mosaic out of Cameron would be the other one. And then our subsidiary called Intera that has gone into areas that are unserved or underserved.
So what we're talking today is about lack of access of broadband. And one term I came across when I was reading to prepare for the show was digital divide. And that's the gap between the people who have access to internet and technology and those who do not. Martha Bechtel, how do you see the digital divide playing out in Wisconsin?
I'm going to change the language just a little bit right now. Digital divide is not a term that people are using anymore. It came up years ago, but the word we're using right now is digital poverty. There's a big difference in how access is provided or not in the state right now and throughout the state and throughout the country. And we're not just seeing it as a gap anymore. We're seeing it as a significant issue with people right now. The people who don't have access come for a variety of reasons, and if you don't have computer access, it is impacting the way you can do your work, the way you can get a job, the way you get healthcare. And so we need to sort of elevate the way it's talked about. So it's not just a divide now. It is really starting to separate the way people live. So we're going to change the terminology a little bit. In Wisconsin, we see broadband as a gap primarily in the rural parts of the state, but there is still a significant amount of people in urban areas that don't have access to internet too. So we need to be kind of inclusive when we talk about this. In Wisconsin, our problem is 98% rural, but there's still issues in urban areas as well. So let's make sure we include all of that in the conversation.
And I want to talk more about that. So things that we typically think of infrastructure, like water, roadways. Do you think that internet should become a part of that conversation? Should it be considered infrastructure or a necessity?
I think it's clear that it has to be at this point. What we're seeing right now, and I think COVID really elevated this issue for us. When we assumed people could just go online. And there are a number of reasons for it. You know, part of it is just the way business operates right now. And part of it is making best use of our funds wherever they are. We see a lot of government services moving toward digital presentation. I mean, you file your taxes online and you can apply for your auto plates online and all of those things like that, which are systems that improve the way government operates. And so in order to fully participate in society and to be part of, you know, to get your medical care, you know, your electronic MyChart stuff or whatever it is you have, you really need internet access to be able to just participate in the activities of living. So I think if we look at it under that lens, it's an absolute necessity.
Dennis Bachman, what do you think about that gap between the haves and the have-not? How does that play out in Western Wisconsin?
We're kind of blessed here in Western Wisconsin. We've got a bunch of small providers that have taken it upon themselves to build out into areas and the rural, because there is a lot of cooperatives, which were owned by the members, so people step ahead. But I think it's still some of the rural, unfortunately, when they did the CAF thing with the large companies, you know, they only required them to go to 10-1, which, as everybody knows, is no longer anything that's needed. Everybody needs more than that. So I think we've been blessed up here. There are a lot of areas around. We keep getting a lot of calls asking us to expand into other areas. So, and back to your infrastructure, kind of interesting because a year ago we were meeting with a township board on trying to figure out how to get broadband into their community. And one of the town board members spoke up and said we should be investing in broadband like we do roads, because it's as critical to our economy and area as roads is to the area.
Dennis, I think you touched briefly there on the speed of internet. And we hear a lot that internet speed is critical in this because, I mean, some people don't have access to internet, but others do have access, but it's like painfully slow. So, Dennis, how fast does internet have to be considered high speed?
That all goes back to who you're talking to. You know, it went from 10.1 to 25.3. Now you're hearing 100. You know, and some of the ARPA programs where they're talking 100 by 100. I think it's not so much the speed as the technology of what's being funded. I think there's been a lack of future funding when they look at giving government dollars and support out to try and help build these rural high-cost markets. Is, for instance, the 10-1, that's all they required. They didn't make it so it was future-proof. To be able to get up there. But as everybody knows right now, 100 meg is getting to be almost common. It is shocking when you sit back at your place and start counting up the number of devices you have. You know, when you start looking at your Rokus, your smartphones, everything else that's connected, every bit of that takes data.
BroadbandNow.com, which is a comparison and research website, shows that a majority of people in all of the counties of our listening area have access to broadband internet speed of at least 25 megabits per second. Dennis, does that sound about accurate?
I would question if all of them can get 25.3. There's a lot of false reports out there we run into, like when we prepare for broadband grants. You know, from the Public Service Commission, we talk to people and they say they're getting, you know, they're being billed for a 20 meg service and they're lucky to get 1 or 2 meg if everybody in the neighborhood's on or something like that. So there's a lot of people who still need service.
And let's talk about how we know that people need service. State officials have estimated that a quarter of Wisconsin's rural population lacks access to broadband. So Marta Bechtel, how are we collecting data? Like, how do we know who has access to broadband and who doesn't?
So we've been really relying on the 2015 FCC, or what year was it? Yeah, I think that was about right. Guidelines for the 25-3 information. And then we've been using the mapping data that has been supplied by the FCC. And I think Dennis, I'm sure, knows this, that, and he alluded to it before, it's notoriously sort of inaccurate when you anecdotally speak to your neighbors about who actually has broadband or not. The way the data is collected, as long as they're divided into service, the state is divided into service areas. And if within those little blocks, if one household is served, they can identify that area as having been served, even if many households within that area are not. If one place is served, they just qualify it. So we understand, and I think globally everybody understands that, or at least in this country, that the FCC information it is not the accurate picture, the true picture of what's happening in our state. So, you know, one of the things that we have been talking about in Wisconsin, as well as at the national level, is getting better data for the mapping. It's there's some tension in collecting it because people deserve privacy, and yet we can't make good decisions unless we have accurate data. So, trying to find that sweet spot where we can collect appropriate information so that we can make best use of the funds we have in serving the unserved is kind of the tension point we're at right now. But yeah, we've got to have better information. Some efforts have been made through the Department of Public Instruction. They've been really good at reaching out to families and households to see who's got service, and they've been able to survey some of our student populations to help increase the accuracy of our data, but there's still a long road to go.
You just heard from Marta Bechtel, who is the Executive Director of the Educational Communications Board and a member of the Governor's Task Force on Broadband Access. You're tuned to the West Side, where we're talking about internet broadband access in western Wisconsin. And you can join this conversation by calling 800-228-5615 or by emailing ideas@wpr.org. Well, we were just talking about data collection, and I'm wondering, so the DPI has made efforts, Marta, you said, but is there really anyone charged with making sure that people are covered with broadband?
The Public Service Commission has got a big data and mapping project, and they are working very hard to use that to put better maps up. You can find broadband maps on the PSC website. And you know, we've got spotty coverage throughout the state. You know, it's very clear that we do, and we've got areas to grow. So they use that information when it comes to making the broadband expansion grants. We are looking at served and underserved and non-service areas of the state when it comes to making those grants and distributing them throughout the state. And I'm sure Dennis has got a lot of experience with this because the grant proposals that they write depend on the information that the PSC has.
I want to talk a little bit more about why this is a problem that's been around. So with rural land, a majority of our state, in fact, 97% of Wisconsin's land is rural. Why hasn't the push for rural broadband experienced broader expansion so far? What do you think, Dennis?
Well, the biggest thing probably is going to be cost. What it costs you to, you know, plow a mile of fiber cable or get out to some of these, you know, fixed wireless will work in parts of the state where you don't have a lot of the trees and coverage, the foliage that interfere. So your cost in some of the northern part of the state where we're heavily wooded and rural cost. I mean, if I'm in Madison, I can bury a mile of fiber and serve how many thousands of people? Out here in our area, if we got some areas that I can look at a mile stretch and serve two customers. So, you know, it's a business case, then that's why the public service grants and some of this is very important to help get us to some of these higher cost areas to give them service. And, you know, back to the mapping and the data, as she alluded, the FCC data is 2 years old when the public finally sees it, because we report it and then the FCC records it and does that. And by the time they get it out, it's 2 years over, you know, past due. So, but rural markets are a higher cost to serve, and, you know, it, to make it, I mean, we, everybody could build it, but then our rates would be unbearable that nobody could afford it. So.
Yeah, your company, Citizens Connected, was known for many years as Citizens Telephone Cooperative, and we have several cooperatives here in Western Wisconsin that make it possible. So those bigger companies that don't see that return on investment, you fill in those gaps, right? So how does your history play into this broadband conversation?
Well, Citizens was one of the original field trial on fiber to the home of one of the major manufacturers in this area, and we've been fiber to the home. We started, I think, in 2005, putting fiber out there. So we are 100% in our service area. And as a co-op, our board and that felt that our members need that service and deserve it. And actually, economic development wise, that if we don't do it, why does somebody want to reside out here, you know, if they can't get the high speed? So it's all about creating jobs. We created a partnership with Chippewa Valley Electric to create a company called Intera. And from their part, the reason they got involved was they got to generate electricity. And if their customers can't get broadband and no longer reside out in the rural areas, they lose power generation, and they, you know, look at it from economic development and survival also.
Let's talk more about what it takes to connect a community. I've heard, like, a big issue that companies run into is terrain. It's hard to build, like you said, Dennis, in northern Wisconsin where there's a lot of trees. Marta Bechtel, how big of an issue is terrain, and will we be able to overcome that?
Terrain can be tricky, and you know, Dennis is absolutely right, you know, especially in places that are very rocky, you know, the coulees where you've got a lot of hills and valleys and, you know, whatever, there's a lot of issues with terrain. And because of the way you have to build and where you need to run the wires, you know, getting easements and access to permits and, you know, all of that you need is also a complicating factor. So it's not just identifying where you need to put stuff, it's then getting the right to put it there. So it becomes a really complicated issue.
And what are people doing to MARTA to combat that? How are companies building through that terrain?
Well, I think right now we're seeing that not very well. I mean, if it were easy and we were combating those problems, we'd be solving these problems right away. Mm-hmm. So, you know, looking for alternative solutions, I think, is where we're going. You know, the Starlink project, you know, satellite access instead of digging into the ground, you know, beaming it from above, that's an alternative for people. You know, setting up different systems that can be very close range, you know, in small areas, CBRS is an option. You know, I think right now it's sort of this all hands approach. There is no one size fits all for how we're going to solve these things in a varied landscape like Wisconsin. So, you know, it's one situation at a time, and they don't all look alike.
And we'll talk more about those solutions later. We're talking about high-speed internet access through broadband on this special edition of Route 51. I'm Clara Neipert. Today we're playing a recorded episode of The West Side from June 4th. Our guests are Marta Bechtel of the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board and Dennis Bachman of Citizens Connected Cooperative in New Auburn. The topic is broadband, and we're back for more in a minute. I'm Clara Neipert, and this is The West Side and Route 51 on the Ideas Network.
Thank you.
We're talking about high-speed internet access through broadband on this special edition of Route 51. I'm Clara Neipert. Our guests are Marta Bechtel of the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board and Dennis Bachman of Citizens Connected Cooperative in New Auburn. Of course, we have to bring the pandemic into this conversation. And when Governor Evers, Tony Evers, issued the Safer at Home order last March, many people had to work and do school from home, and people had to rely on the internet more than ever. One rural farmer told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that Zoom meetings are, quote, the bane of rural existence. Dennis Bachman, how did you see the pandemic, and how do you see it, impact the communities around you that might not have access to high-speed internet?
For us, we had a lot of people that did not have broadband because they chose not to. They were using their wireless device because they had broadband at their work, so they didn't need it at home. All of a sudden, it became an issue, and they all needed it. We worked with our schools around us that if we had students that did not have access, we worked with the schools to get those people access. We're blessed in a beautiful part of the state with a lot of lakes and resort areas, and we had people who actually moved to their lake house to remote work because where they come from in the other area, their main home, didn't have broadband. We've seen home sales increase just because they can get broadband here, and they're selling their home elsewhere. So we had people that lived in some of our resorts area and finish their schools and use our Wi-Fi hotspots or our Wi-Fi to get them, you know, get through the pandemic. So it's been a growth. We continue to grow. We've got more people who were not members of the co-op that are now members with broadband.
We talked earlier about digital poverty, that gap between people who can and can't access the internet for an intersecting variety of issues. Marta Bechtel, how did the pandemic highlight that divide?
Well, I think businesses everywhere suffered when employees had to go home. It became really difficult to get work done when everyone doesn't have the opportunity to connect online. You know, it's a huge challenge, you know, and then just the affordability of getting those systems set up in your home. Even if you can keep your job and work from home, you've got to have internet. You've got to have devices that can handle the traffic that you're doing. You've got to have enough RAM on your computer to be able to function in a Zoom meeting. You know, there's a lot of challenges to being able to operate at home. And then, of course, when children were sent home from school and expected to learn online, you know, if parents aren't using computers and Zoom and all of those things too, all of a sudden they've got to be able to help their kid do it. And so now we've got two learners in the house, not just the student, but the parent as well. So I think we saw lots of challenges with that. You know, it's not just the access, but it's the devices as well. And then the skill set to be able to navigate, problem solve, troubleshoot, you know, sort of in-home triage and tech support that compounds this problem. So it becomes even more severe.
Yeah, we've been talking about internet access at home, but Marta, you brought up a good point there. It's also important for small businesses. Dennis Bachman, how did you see small businesses' relationship to high-speed internet in our area change during the pandemic?
For our area, most of the customers have already had it and used it, but it's very much like she said, when you start remote workers, there's people struggling to, how do you do it, including ourselves. I mean, we've never had remote work, and now all of a sudden we had to move people home and try and make it work. So, and it, as she said, it was getting everybody educated on how to do video conferencing, Zoom meetings. I think that was one of the biggest struggles that we had in our area.
And more on the economy. In a post-pandemic Wisconsin, some are saying that we might see more people work from home And Dennis, you were talking about this a little. I did a show 2 weeks ago about the housing market where guests told me that we might see more people moving out of the city and into rural areas. Dennis, how important is broadband when it comes to attracting more people to rural Wisconsin?
It's critical. I have a friend who was trying to sell her house outside of a local community and did not have, and she had 8 offers until they found out they couldn't get broadband. And unfortunately, she was far enough away, and that's why we're discussing it, because she's trying to get me to come to their area. But matter of fact, the other day, we also had another customer that bought one in our area because we have fiber broadband, and they're selling their house in another community because they can live out here and enjoy the rural.
We've talked a lot about rural broadband, but Marta Bechtel, as you brought up earlier, this is also a problem in cities. Marta, can you talk more about that?
There is, most cities have some sort of internet service, but there are also issues with affordability in cities. You know, cities also have low-income populations that may or may not be able to afford the service that is in their community. So we do see some lack of adoption simply because people can't afford the service that is available to them. There can be challenges with really densely packed urban areas too, just based on the construction of the buildings and the way they're put together. So if there isn't fiber directly to the house lines, fixed wireless might have trouble getting through brick walls and plaster and lath and those things too. So there can be challenges in urban areas as well.
In those urban areas, are they like Milwaukee, Madison, like big cities like
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, we're talking about today on the West Side. We're talking about internet broadband access in Western Wisconsin. And you can join this conversation by calling 800-228-5615 or emailing ideas@wpr.org. I want to turn our conversation now to solutions. And first, let's talk about the governor's task force on broadband access. Marta Bechtel, you're a member of the governor's task force, which I believe was formed last summer.
Yes.
Why was it formed, and what are the task force goals?
So the task force was formed, obviously, because of the broadband issue. All of these issues were apparent before COVID, but exacerbated, of course, when everybody went home from work. It's a 24-member panel appointed by the governor and convened by the Public Service Commission, and it's a mixed group of all of the interests that are involved stakeholders in broadband. So private internet service providers, telecommunications and utilities services, educational entities, county, regional, and tribal governments, state agencies, and legislators from both parties, because we know this is a bipartisan issue. Internet access is not political. This is something we all know we need. So the purpose of the commission was really to appreciate the complexity of the factors that have created the broadband problem in Wisconsin and to understand the points of view of the various sectors and the stakeholders on this issue. So, it's not solved because it is complicated. And we know that money is the biggest issue, but there are a lot of other factors that need to be considered in the process. And so bringing all those voices to the table to really sort of digest all the places there are gaps and roadblocks and try to come up with ways we could fix or repair those things so that we can more quickly roll out broadband in this state. And we have made progress. You know, the gap 5 years ago was about 13% of the state in rural areas having problems, and we've shrunk that down to about 7%. So we are making improvements, but it's just not moving very quickly.
So on the task force, there are a lot of different groups represented. So different ethnic groups too, Latinx groups, Hmong groups, I believe I saw, tribal group, like Native American groups. Why is it important to be so diverse and inclusive when it comes to talking about broadband?
Well, it's an American problem. It's everybody's problem. It's not any certain group. So we do need to address that. And we need to look for the issues with implementation. And sometimes, as I was mentioning before, people have to understand how to use the systems. It's not just providing them to their homes, but how do you use the internet? What is your digital literacy? What is your tech information skills base? And so you've got to be able to reach every population to teach about this stuff. So, we need thought leaders in every community. We need support systems in every community. So having voices and advocates from all of the people in this country that need to be served at the table is really important for knowing how to best reach them, assist them, help them, and support the challenges that might be present in their communities.
One disparity I'd specifically like to talk about, the Federal Communications Commission, or the FCC, stats show that Native American and Alaska Native communities have less access to broadband than the general U.S. population. Is the task force working to address that disparity?
Yes, for sure. We do have tribal communities at the table to talk about that in Wisconsin and include them in the whole broad package. So yes.
And then finally, Marta, why are you as executive director of the Educational Communications Board? Why are you part of the task force?
Well, the ECB was established 50 years ago. In fact, it's our 50th anniversary this year, as a state agency to provide equity of access to information throughout the state. And we began years, 100 years ago, almost, as the State Radio Council to make sure that all citizens in Wisconsin had access to educational radio. So we built out the state radio network, and then in 1971, built out the television network that is now PBS Wisconsin. So we have always had a hand in using broadcast RF to ensure access to information to the citizens of the state, particularly in areas that are underserved, for the same reasons broadband is a challenge. We, the commercial providers need to be able to get a return on their investment, and in areas of the state where it wasn't profitable for other entities to come out, we provide the access point of the state kind of steps in where the commercial market isn't driven on its own. There has been some talk about using broadcast television white space for broadband, and it's a complicated factor, and we need to fairly represent commercial broadcasters in this process, as well as commercial internet providers, to understand how spectrum is used and how it can be best maximized. And television white space is not a terrific solution. It is a solution, but there are other systems that work better and can provide more access for more people with less infringement on other services. And so representing the voice of broadcasters in this process is another reason why I'm involved. ECB does have towers that we have been able to use. Utilize in partnership with private internet service providers to help get signals to serve areas. And so that's another reason we're involved. We've been able to be kind of innovative with some public-private partnerships that have been helpful in serving underserved and unserved areas. So, ECB does have interest, and we also have expertise. We've got a lot of engineers on our staff that are really experts in using these kinds of these wireless technologies, and they can also be helpful subject matter experts on understanding and solving some of the problems as well.
Yeah, I want to talk more about TV white space and stuff like that. But before we wrap up our task force conversation, I wanted to ask, when can we see outcomes from the task force? Will we be able to see what you're working on?
Yeah, the report will be due in June at the end of the month. So it is getting ready. It's in draft form right now, and it will be It will be coming out for the legislature soon.
Okay, so solutions and technology. You touched on MARTA, TV white space. There's also 5G. I've heard of people placing hotspots in various areas around town and satellites. So there are many creative solutions in the works that would provide broadband access to those that need it. Dennis Bachman, can you talk a little bit more about, give us a brief overview about what exactly these solutions are?
Let's see. Touched on most of it. You have 5G, which is a wireless. Some of the issue is which frequency you use, as Marta said, penetration of buildings, the terrain, some of that stuff affects that. Starlink, the low Earth orbit satellites is another option that's out there that they're trying to figure out if it's going to be a viable solution for us. The people to use, you have fixed wireless, you have hybrid of coax fiber build outs that a lot of the cable companies have used. You have fiber to the home, which is what the technology we've chosen in that. So you got a wide variety. Each have their pluses and minuses. The fiber probably technology wise will give you the most speed. I mean, it's capable, if you want to go 10 gig even or even higher, it's just all electronics. But it's also one of the highest cost to build. And then when you get to 5G, if you're in the right frequency, you're, about football field length or so away from the tower, and you start losing good quality speed. So then you need fiber to back feed that if you got high density areas. So in the rural market in our area, that's about a tower per customer. Well, then you're about as cheap to do fiber. So there's a lot of choices out there, and it's always interesting studying to see what's the next thing coming out.
And Marta, can you explain more of that TV white space thing? I'm not exactly sure if I understand that. How do you get internet access through a TV?
So TV white space within the broadcast frequency for television, there is the ability to capture that for broadband delivery. 4 years or so ago, the FCC did a major repack of television spectrum to make to clear space for broadband delivery, and they compacted television signals into the lower spectrum bands. So TV white space can do the same thing broadband can at the upper ends of the RF spectrum, but we've been condensed. TV's now been condensed since this repack into these lower bands together. So television frequencies across the country now are much closer together than they used to be 5 years ago. And because of that, the white space that can be used, because RF frequencies can be used for broadband, the space between channels is present and can be used, but I'm trying to think about the best way to illustrate this. The opportunity for interference when this space is used is promulgated. So we have space in broadband, and we should be using that broadband space. White space can be used, but since the spectrum repack, it's a lot more complicated now to find white space that is available. And the devices that are sort of tracking the availability of white space are not necessarily great, and they are providing inconsistent data. So using that white space, yes, it's there and it can be used, but it has been licensed for television broadcasters. And the possibility of causing interference with television providers exists in this white space capacity. So I'm not saying it can't be done. White space can definitely be used for broadband, but it's tricky. And if it's going to be used, it should be done in partnership with the television service providers in whatever area is contemplating this to make sure that we can keep interference from happening.
Okay.
It's complicated.
Yeah.
The short answer is it's yes, it's possible, and B, it's complicated.
Got it. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Claire Neipert. Today we're playing a recorded episode of The West Side from June 4th. We're talking about high-speed internet access through broadband. Our guests are Marta Bechtel of the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board and Dennis Bachman of Citizens Connected Cooperative in New Auburn. Our topic is broadband. I'm Claire Neipert, and this is The West Side and Route 51 on the Ideas Network. Talking about high-speed internet access through broadband on this special edition of Route 51. I'm Claire Neipert. Our guests are Marta Bechtel of the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board and Dennis Bachman of Citizens Connected Cooperative in New Auburn. Well, we were just talking about solutions for broadband, and I wanted to bring up a solution that's being considered here in Eau Claire County. It's called the Starlink Project. Governor Tony Evers announced earlier last month that the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation will contribute $27,500 to the Starlink pilot program, and that's going to provide internet access to people in Eau Claire County via satellite. Dennis Bachman, how viable do you think this solution is?
I think any solution is viable. I have concerns with dumping money into a trial experiment, you know, and not getting something that can work. But I think it's an option. I'm trying to think of the right way to put it. But right now, satellite, I have a friend who is also trying out the Starlink project. They live outside of Chippewa Falls, and they said it's better than satellite, but it's still not compared to the fiber they get in our area where they work. But they said they have to have broadband, and where they're at, they don't get service. So it's an option.
Marta Bechtel, what do you think about the Starlink project? What will people in Eau Claire County see from this?
I actually am aware of some people who have it, and they like it so far, I think. I think it's a little costly to implement household by household. There's a significant startup cost with this. And the monthly fees, depending on the income of the household, could be considered expensive. But the service, I understand, is really great. It's particularly nice if you're someone who uses a lot of data, if you're someone who games a lot, or if you are running, you know, a lot of Zoom meetings out of your house, it can be useful. I think based on what I've heard about it, it might be more internet than some households need. And so when you're looking at the cost of what you're paying for it, there could be other services that are more cost effective for your household that will give you what you need. But you know, as Dennis said, it's a solution. It's a service that works and is available, and it helps people who need it. So, like all of these, there isn't one size fits all for everyone. And depending on all of the other factors that impact you, it's definitely workable.
And if you have no other option, that may be the only way you get broadband.
Exactly.
I want to turn our conversation now to talking about programs that can help. If you're a listener and you need broadband connection, or you'd like to gain access to internet for a cheaper rate, I want to talk about that now. Dennis Bachman, what programs are out there to help people who are in need of a stable internet connection or internet for a cheaper rate?
Right now, the ones that we see out there is basically through the Lifeline program on the federal government. They just came out with that EBB program, Emergency Broadband Benefit, which is, unfortunately, I think they have some of the right ideas, but they also threw in a lot of red tape. So a lot of providers have chosen not to participate. because of, I mean, for us, it looked like we would need to add just about another person just to handle the reporting and the tracking and everything else to get it. So, I mean, it's out there. I have had one member come in and voice a complaint about the EBB program, that why are we funding somebody who's already got broadband versus people who need broadband that don't already have it. So, you know, it's out there. There's programs. The Lifeline, currently through Universal Service Fund, is not very much. I mean, it's a, what, $9 and some credit, where the EBB is a $50 credit, but that is until the money runs out, and there's estimates that may be a 2-month or a 3-month program.
Marta Bechtel, what do you think about the Emergency Broadband Assistance Program? Have you seen it help people throughout Wisconsin?
So I think it's hard to say. It's only been available for a short period of time. I think it is an opportunity to help people who are struggling with paying internet costs. But as Dennis pointed out, it only is applicable in areas where there is already existing service and there's a provider who subscribes to the program. So it really leaves some gaps in the service, but it can help defray costs of devices, which is also helpful. And for households that need that support, it's there. So it is one thing that's available, but it's definitely not going to solve all the problems. And as Dennis pointed out, it's a short-term solution too. So it's not going to fix a problem. It's just going to bridge a moment in time.
Marta, I think that broadband and high-speed internet access has become, because of the pandemic, I think a little bit elevated in our discussions. In the future, you said that this is maybe just like a Band-Aid approach to a problem. What do you think in the future will happen with broadband? Can we expect to someday see everyone covered?
Well, I think definitely we can expect it. The timeline of implementation is the question at hand. We are definitely looking at approaches to solving the problem. You know, future-proof fiber everywhere would be the dream. It's not going to be the reality. So we have to consider that. And because we've been able to make progress in the last 5 years, we will continue to do that in the next 5 years. So you'll see improvement. There will always be a small portion of the population that chooses not to be part of broadband, and that's fine. You know, that's the beauty of living in a democracy. You can make those choices for yourself. But for regular business and, you know, government processes, healthcare processes, educational processes, we will have to have as much connectivity as we can in this state. And we are moving forward on the right path. In terms of our communities and the way they're handling things, and particularly on the west side of the state, you've done such a fantastic job with this. But, you know, working together, public-private partnerships, we will find solutions and we will solve the problem eventually.
Dennis Bachman, quickly, what do you think is the solution for broadband?
Well, I think if you want it everywhere, there's got to be support to keep the cost down. Somehow, either on the construction phase and then that way. As Marta stated, you know, back when we started with phone years ago, they started the Lifeline program to help the low income to get phone service for emergency services. Broadband is slowly becoming what the phone was back then, and being a necessity versus just a luxury. So I think, you know, on the federal side, they have moved most of their support or all their support from phone to broadband. And the state, I'm guessing at some point, the state will do the same thing.
Well, this was a great hour talking about broadband access in our state. Thank you to our guests, Dennis Bachman, who's the CEO and General Manager of Citizens Connected Co-op in New Auburn, and Marta Bechtel, the Executive Director of the Educational Communications Board and a member of the Governor's Task Force on Broadband Access. Rick Ryer and Dean Kallenbach helped produce today's program. Kate Spranger is our on-air producer, and she also manages publicity. Today we featured an episode of The West Side from June 4th. Next week, Shereen Siebert returns to talk about summer festivals in central Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us. I'm Clara Neipert. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio.